Empire.
You thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the urban sports scene.
What's up, how it be? It's Will T and Wola of the Urban Sports Scene.
You gonna jump in with that corny ass shit? Hey man, you're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. We are part of Ampfire Media at AmpfireMedia.com. I'm Wola and I'm joined by my co-host Will T. Ray Jeezy is out. You gonna really jump? I liked it. I ain't gonna lie to you. You just called me off guard. I wish you had told me you wanted to start it off. I wouldn't have said shit.
I figured I'd just pop up with something different, man.
And you got the juice, man. That was kind of dope. I ain't going to hold you. That was kind of dope. I was like, all right, what? Wait a minute. What the fuck are we doing here? Yo, yeah, Ray's out, so it's the darkness show. So we going to be a little uncut. It's
like Urban Sports Scene exactly, after dark.
After dark, you know what I'm saying? So we don't have the light bright dude. You know what I'm saying? We're more like Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson. Because, you know, Matt Barnes is basically like a dark-skinned dude anyway. You know what I'm saying? He don't have light skin tendencies.
Nope.
Just saying. Just keep it all the way 100. Anyway, I mentioned Ampire Media. Ampire Media hosts multiple DMV sports podcast shows, such as the John Kime Report, hosted by ESPN Washington Commanders insider John Kime, and Jones Football, hosted by USA Today insider Mike Jones.
Who?
Mike Jones. Say it again.
Who?
Mike Jones. Hey, subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes. Tune in iHeartRadio and Google Podcasts. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Make sure you subscribe to the Urban Sports Scene YouTube channel as well. This show can be found on the Podcast DC app, the local app with hundreds of options in local news and health in the DMV region. Download the Podcast DC app to hear all of the Ampire shows as well as other great content. And also, don't forget to tweet us at Urban Sports Scene. Hit us up on our IG at Urban Sports Scene and like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page.
Also, join our Urban Sports Scene Facebook group. Search Urban Sports Scene, sports bloggers, sports podcasters, and sports debates.
I don't know why I ain't pass you on some of them other reads. Like, I did a lot of reading.
I mean, you hogging the ball earlier. I know, that's what, right? See, I saw the outline, and I saw you was hogging the ball, yeah. And I was like, that's why I got to jump in, man.
But you know what? I gave you a lot, though. I don't know if you peep game, though. So it's like, I gave you a lot. Like, a lot. It's okay. In the basketball, I gave you a lot of basketball, bro. You got to give me some flowers, dude. You can't just like, throw out the producer out there like that, dog. You got to give me some flowers. I gave you a bunch of stuff in basketball. I even gave you some stuff for Commander stuff, which is odd for me. Anyway. Hey, Will, too.
Let's get into our tradition of pregame.
Here's what we have on tap. We'll recap the Washington Commanders draft selections with Sports Journey's Washington Commanders reporter Lake Lewis Jr. He is also one of the main personalities on ABC, on an ABC affiliate. Then finally at 8:30, we'll talk about the NBA playoffs. Justin from the Above the Rim podcast will join us to discuss the playoff games. All right, I mentioned this, but right now we have Sports Journey's Washington Commanders reporter Lake Lewis on the line. What's good, Lake?
What's going on, fellas? How you doing?
Doing great, man. Blessed, highly favored. How about yourself?
I can't complain. It's another day, another dollar. That's how it goes.
I know, right? You ain't lying. Also, you know, it's basketball. It's the NBA playoffs. It's like been one of the best playoffs in years, man.
Absolutely. Extremely competitive.
See, I don't like that.
Why?
Why?
You don't think it's one of the best in years?
I mean, it is if you like parody, but I don't like parody.
Oh, you like the diamond? You like when Rescue Jordan calls? I understand. I get it.
Well, it's just messing with my bets.
Oh, I got you. Oh, okay. I did. Will can relate to you with that type stuff.
Well, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, look, people say, are you allowed to say that? Look, I got a setup with FanDuel, so of course I am.
Of course, bro.
But the thing is, though, seriously, like, you don't know who's going to win on any given night. Yeah. And, you know, you would think the Lakers going to close Golden State out tonight, but I don't know. I mean, you would think the Knicks would try to get a win just, you know, to leave New York and not look so bad and get, you know, three in a row hung on them. Uh-huh. But I don't think they're going to win tonight. So, I mean, it's just, yeah, from a competitive standpoint, it's great. And you get a chance to see young stars, you know, and maybe some teams that you didn't see during the year. But honestly, can you put your hat on any team and say that they are definitely, you know, winning this thing? I don't know. Put it like this. If the Lakers and Denver were to play, I wouldn't be so far-fetched to say, well, Lane, I know you want to hear this. The Lakers might get them.
Yeah.
Seriously.
You know I want to hear it. That's what I want to hear.
Well,
I'm
going to go out on the ledge. I'm going to tell everybody who's going to win the NBA championship.
Go ahead, bro.
Philadelphia 76ers.
Yeah, man. I'm not believing no James Harden and Embiid in the playoffs. Okay. Embiid will get hurt.
listen, I'm going to tell you what I think we're about to see, man, and it's going to be something. You know, y'all know I'm a Warriors fan, you know.
Yeah,
so
I can tell.
Listen, but seriously, I think we might be looking at a Philly LA finals.
That would be dope. That's good for the league.
I mean, Denver's probably the most talented team as far as their starting five. You know, they're probably the biggest five, too. I mean, they got an extremely lengthy team.
Yeah.
Jokic is a monster. But Murray, right now. It's hit or miss.
Yeah, but he's looking more like old Murray right now, though. He's looking more like old Murray.
Yeah, well, they're going to need that. They would need that because Harden looked like the whole Harden, and now you got Maxey. So you got a three-headed monster in Philly right now, literally. You know, and I don't know if there's another team that has that right now.
True.
The Warriors, obviously, you got Steph, but sometimes Klay doesn't show up now. Jordan Poole sometimes missing in action. Draymond, you just never know what you're going to get. So, you know, it just seems like even with your Lakers, man, you know, if Anthony Davis shows up, they're hard to beat.
Yeah.
But you just don't know what you're going to get with him on the offensive end every night.
All right, Lake. Now we're talking some round ball. Let's talk some pigskin. With the 16th pick in the draft, Washington Commanders selected Mississippi State cornerback Emmanuel Forbes. What kind of impact do you expect for him to have during his rookie season?
I think he's going to have a real big impact. You know, I think he's a guy that should start, you know, on one side of the field. And he's a playmaker. And that's what this defense is, you know, as good as they've been and the flashes that they've shown. And last year was their best year under Jack Del Rio. They still just don't cause turnovers. I think now if you have a guy like Forbes who's a ball hawk, a ball magnet back there with a guy, say, like a Derek Forrest. You know, those are the type of players that create turnovers in your secondary, and you need that, especially if you're going to have, you know, a quarterback in Sam Howell that hasn't had a full season under his belt and for all intents and purposes will be a rookie. So they need to have him, you know, have the shortest field possible. So you're going to need turnovers to help his game on the offensive side.
So, like, do you see him starting off the rip?
I do, man. I mean, listen, my thing is, first round draft picks are first round draft picks. They're supposed to start, and if they don't, they're supposed to get meaningful minutes. But they get meaningful minutes when they play for really good football teams. Washington's not a really good football team, so there's no reason why he should not start. You know, in a perfect world, that's what you drafted him for, was to put him on one side of the field. I know people talk about the size and all that stuff, but this guy's been doing it at a you know, all SEC All America clip. You know, with the size that his God-given size, so he knows what he's doing. And again, I just think that he's a guy that can give you some things on the outside of the field that you haven't had, and that's a guy that can jump routes and things like that.
Go ahead.
You mentioned that he jumps routes, Lake. I've seen. I'm not going to sit here and say I've broken down tape or I've watched a bunch of his games.
We're not those type of people.
Let me ask you this.
I am.
Okay. Well, so since you've watched highlights or watched tape of him, do you see him more as a guy who takes chances when in defense, meaning that he's one of those like a Tavon Diggs that will jump routes that will, because he's aggressive towards the ball, will get burnt sometimes? Or do you think it's just if it's a situation where the quarterback throws it up or throws it in his vicinity, he has the mentality of, oh, I'm a receiver too, so I'm going to go get the ball?
Yeah, no. He's definitely not a guy that gambles all the time. Not at all. He's you know, this kid is a kid that you can see knows film. Uh-huh. You can tell, like, you may see him make a mistake once or twice in a game, and it's normally early. He doesn't make that mistake after he's made it the first time for the rest of the game.
Gotcha.
And, you know, so he's a guy that does film study. He's a guy that's prepared, knows the tendency of the quarterback. you know, the way he's looking off receivers. And I just think that that's something that this defense hasn't had. Benji St. Juice, you know, I'm very high on him. He's more of a grabby guy, you know, just holds you. That's why he gets called for a lot of pass interferences, you know. So I'm okay with that because that shows you that there's a lot of effort there and he's competing. But Forbes, on the other hand, is a guy that will play a little bit more cleaner, but will dare you to put the ball out there. And, you know, there's some guys that you can tell had wide receiver in their background and they just know how to, you know, track a ball out the air. Uh-huh. You know, there's a reason why some D-backs play D-back because they're great athletes, but they can't catch. So, but then you have the guys like him who were at some point can play receiver or had played receiver and they just transferred it over to the defensive side of the ball. So they kind of have like an intuition on, you know, when a quarterback's about to make a throw, they know when to jump that route or they know when to, you know, lay off a receiver or whatever, give up a couple yards as opposed to a big play. And I just think Washington has a really good cornerback. I mean, let's call it like it is, guys. If this guy had Christian Gonzalez size or Witherspoon or Joey Porter Jr. or something, that guy would have been a top 10 pick, literally. I really, truly believe that. He probably would have gone, you know, he probably would have been up there with Witherspoon. But because of his size, you know, that's the way some of these critics critique things. When they can't find anything else, they'll find something. So the only thing they guess they could find on this kid wasn't what he did on the field, but the way he looked on the field.
So we got a tweet. My man ADHD John Chan said, I expect him to prove the doubters wrong about size and Washington's priorities. I mean, prioritizes his role regardless of the numbers this season. Cornerback is a place we can't stay consistent at, but this is promising. His speed and his awareness at Mississippi State was crazy. Yeah, I do. I believe in, just like you, like I just believe in dudes who can do it in the college level on Saturdays. A guy that has shown you that to get turnovers. And this team, this defense needs that. They need a playmaking defensive back. I actually don't even care if he gets burnt. Like, I know we were talking about Tavon. I think this defense needs a dude that can get you the ball. Like, right, the guys, like, right. I think Fuller showed you a little bit of that last year. But, you know, he's right. Getting a little older in age. St. Juice hasn't really shown you that. But like you said, he's grabby. But this kid has shown you in college, and I do think that translates. In any era of football we watch, if a cornerback is a dude that can get picks and takes it to the house, yeah, they can get burnt, but they still keep that ability to catch the football and take it to the house. Dre Bly was like that when I was younger. We saw people like Sam Madison, Buckley. Terrell Buckley in Miami years ago. So, to me, if you show that capability, that trait, that you get picks and take it to the house, I think this defense needs that tremendously.
Well, Wole, you mentioned somebody that I want to bring up next. That's Kendall Fuller, mm-hmm. right? With the selection of Forbes, what does that mean for Fuller?
So, like, what does that mean?
I mean, on the outside looking in, it looks like, you know, you would think they would move on from Kendall, but I don't think they're doing that at all, to be honest with you. I think Kendall, you know, to his credit, when they took him away from being in the slot where he's just struggled, he's not that guy, you know, so I think they realized when they let him go the first time, when they traded him for Alex Smith, he was playing really well in the slot when they had traded him. Yeah. And when he came back, you know, they immediately put him back in the slot. And you could just see that maybe he's lost a step. And these guys in the slot now are a little bigger and still just as quick and fast. So when they moved him back to the outside last year, he played really well down the stretch. I mean, he played some of his best football. So that's where they need to keep him. But then you go out and you draft a guy like Forbes. So what does it mean? You know, some people are saying, oh, that means Benji St. Juice is going to be, you know, relegated to being a backup. No, I don't necessarily think that's the case. I just think that nowadays you need three corners and a slot. So it's not like you have two corners and a third is the slot automatically. No, sometimes you have three guys covering people on the outside and then you have a slot. But at the end of the day, the more depth you have, the more quality corners you have, the better the team will be. So I also think Kendall Fuller is such a quality leader and, you know, veteran presence. When you think of all these young guys in this secondary, I mean, if you get rid of Fuller, then you have to think Cam Curl's going to be your veteran going into his fourth year. So I don't know if you necessarily want that. You know, I think you need Kendall in the locker room to help, you know, help teach some of these younger guys and see what happens. So I don't think they're going to make a move on Kendall anytime soon.
So, yeah, so I agree with you. Like, I think that, because arguably to me, if I, you know, I was down on Kendall in the beginning of the year last season. I thought, like, oh, you got to get rid of this dude because he was struggling outside, you know, last year. But when they traded, you know, Jackson, I just felt like he just played better. He just played better, period. Yeah. And yeah. I would make the argument during that second half of the season that I thought he was the best cornerback on the team regardless. I know a lot of people like Benji St. Juice, and he was good. I'm not saying that he wasn't. He was an upgrade from Jackson thoroughly. Don't get it twisted. But I thought Fuller played great ball, and I think it's hard. It is hard to go away from a person who's playing good ball for you down the stretch. Like, we can name all the pick six against the Texans, the one against the Cowboys, the big pick against the Falcons. Like, the dude had a lot of big interceptions. So to me, like it's gonna be hard to get rid of somebody who was helping your defense down the stretch. And I look at a situation like this. Like, Fuller can be off the bench. That's fine. You can put him off the bench, but it's gonna have to be done differently. Like, today in today's NFL, there's not a two wide receiver set offense. It doesn't work that way. So if they're in the occasion that it is a two wide receiver set offense that you see, like, you know, a team's in that package with two wide receivers and that's it, which I doubt. You start the rookie and St. Juice. I'm cool with that. But if it is to a situation where they're coming out with three wides, I think you keep Fuller outside, you keep Forbes outside, and you put St. Juice inside, because we've seen St. Juice inside anyway, and it hasn't hurt him inside anywhere.
Right, yeah. I mean, and normally grabby guys are kind of tend to work out better in the slot, you know, just because, you know, they're holding up guys doing crossing routes and things like that, you know. So and sometimes if you're a bigger corner like a Benji St. Juice, a rangy guy, and you can play in the slot, you actually, you know, become an asset because you can hold up a portion of the field. So, you know, they've got some really good options. They got the kid Martin they drafted as well, who, although he's, you know, was a safety a lot in college, he played a whole lot of nickel slot guy this year in Illinois. And, you know, Illinois' defense was really good this year. So I think with him and Witherspoon, you know, obviously the first corner taken off the board, I think that those two guys had teams locked up. And, you know, so he's a guy that's going to come in too and challenge for some significant playing time as well. Some people think that he might be your starting guy in the slot. I don't think that's the case. I think he'll be, you know, fourth, fifth corner, but they're going to get adequate playing time. I mean, he's probably going to get 25 reps a game, you know, which is a lot. So, you know, people always talk about starters,
yes.
But it's who finishes and who's on the field when it's meaningful. And it also is dictated by the personnel of the opposing offense you're playing to determine who's going to be on the field.
So, like, you're talking about Jartavius Martin. He's listed as a safety, so you're saying he's going to be playing some nickel? It looks like he's going to be playing more DB.
He'll be playing more DB. He's not going to be playing a whole lot of safety, I can assure you that.
Because I had a question about that, too. I was like, you already got Derek Forrest, you got Percy Butler. Yeah. Obviously, be Cam Curl, who wants the bag. Obviously. I'm like, that's not going to work out.
Yeah, he flashed this. he flashed this year as a slot guy for Illinois.
Okay.
And a nickel guy. So, I mean, he excelled at it. He really did in the slot. So I think that's what most, you know, I think most of the scouts were looking at him to transition in the NFL to that role. Uh-huh. And Washington, ironically, needed that. And it's perfect fit for him.
All right. So Lake, in terms of the other drafted players in third round, Washington selected Ricky Strongberg out of Arkansas in the fourth round. Mm-hmm. O-lineman Braden Daniels out of Utah in the fifth round. Edge rusher KJ Henry out of Clemson. Sixth round, a running back Chris Rodriguez Jr. out of Kentucky. And their last pick in the seventh round, a linebacker Andre Jones out of Louisiana. Do you expect any of those players to make an impact on this team next season?
Yeah, I mean, I think all of them have a legitimate chance to make the roster for sure. And I think a guy like KJ Henry is a really good pass rusher from Clemson. I mean, really good. And actually one of my good friends from Penn State who used to play at Penn State is his uncle, and we've already talked, and you know, he was just like, this is, it's almost a steal, you know, for this defense to have another guy that can come in and pass rush to, you know, to that effect. He's a really good kid too, on top of that. So you got a guy like that. Kid Chris Rodriguez from Kentucky is just a thumper. I mean, he's a physical runner that sheds bodies. So, you know, that's something that they need. They kind of needed a sledgehammer on their, you know, in their backfield, and he's that guy. You know, he's a guy that'll get a couple touches, especially in short yardage situations, for sure. And remember, you know, when you think about it, you know, he's kind of a fullback type, you know, he's a running back, but he's got a fullback frame and, you know, that kind of mentality. And if you think about Eric Bieniemy's offense in Kansas City, they utilize that kind of fullback. So I think that was why they drafted him, to be frank. And, you know, you think of Ricky Stromberg. I think Ricky Stromberg, if it's not opening day at some point early, he's going to be starting on that offensive line. Wow. Will it be center? I'm not sure, because I think the team's happy with Nick Gates, who they picked up as a free agent from the Giants. I think they penciled him in to be the starter, perhaps, but they're going to have competition, and I would not be surprised if Stromberg, you know, shows and flashes that he can play. And he's also a versatile guy too, so you know, they like to have their offensive linemen be versatile, where they can move to different positions. So maybe they move him and put him at guard or something like that. So it's going to be interesting to see, but they finally have some quality competition that they can, you know, that they can show each other.
All right. Like, there are two types of players that DC fans love. One is the backup quarterback. The backup quarterback, Washington fans love the backup quarterback, especially if the starter is playing poorly. And the second type of player is that guy who's undrafted that towards the second or third preseason game, everyone believes is going to be an emergent star. So out of these undrafted free agents, which ones do you think will make an impact on this team this year?
If none of them.
None of them?
You mean as far as quarterback?
No, I mean any undrafted player.
Whoa. That's you know, now that you pose it that way, that's a whole nother story. There's a couple, and you know I gotta start with one right up my alley. Come on now, you know I can't come on here and we are. Listen. Listen when I tell you this. Mitch Tinsley should have been drafted, and I don't mean late. He's good.
Okay.
And you know, he transferred. He was a transfer portal kid to Penn State this year. But before that, I think he was at Western Kentucky, and I think he was like one of the leading receivers in the country for catches and yards. Uh-huh. So he could play. And then this year, they just had so much talent as far as you know, they were an 11-2 team, you know, this year. They had a lot of young weapons scattered around the field. Parker Washington was another good receiver that went somewhere else. But, you know, they had talent. And I think, you know, he kind of got lost in that talent, but he still had a productive year. I think he's a guy that could really, really, really challenge to be their, you know, fifth receiver, perhaps even the fourth receiver. That's how talented he is. So if I'm Dyami Brown, you know, Dyami Brown's going to have to be on alert here. And I mean that. I like Dyami Brown. I think he makes the team, but I think Mitch Tinsley makes the team too. I think the guy that might be the odd man out in all of this is Wole's favorite, Dax Mills.
Yes!
So
thank you! So I was waiting to hear that. So, that's all I want to hear.
Well, the other reason Dax Mills may be out of here is because you talked about undrafted guys. The kid from UCLA, man, is like that. Uh-huh. And they need that kind of game changer in special teams for them. Like I said, we talked about, you have a new quarterback who doesn't have a lot of experience starting. You need to give him every opportunity to be successful, and that starts with having short fields. Yes. And if you can flip the field from a special team standpoint, you know, there's no time to play favorite because you like somebody. Uh-huh. I'd rather not like you and you produce for me. Facts. So that's what we got to do now.
All right, what's that name again? One more time.
From Penn State?
Oh, yeah, of course now. No, that's Mitch Tinsley from
Mitch Tinsley. So mark that, Wole. Mitch Tinsley.
And the kid from UCLA.
That's the one I like. That's the one I like.
I'm drawing a blank.
It's Zaire. It starts with a Z. His last name is Allen.
Zaire Allen. Yes. I'm telling you guys, he's electrifying. When I say electrifying, if he gets in the open field, he's gone.
I did see tape of him. Anybody who can replace Dats Mims or Mil, whatever you, how you say his name, Milton, whatever. Anybody can replace him, I'm happy.
Well, the kid Allen reminds me a little bit of Dante Hall.
That's good enough, man.
He's got that wiggle, but he's fast though. Yeah. This guy's a legit 4.3 guy. So that's what they need, you know, and you just hope guys get opportunities in preseason because, you know, that's what they're going to have to do. They're going to have to let these guys, you know, play for something and not play favorites. When you're not good, you can't play favorites. Right. You just have to let the best players be on the field.
I agree, Lake. Hey, Lake, thanks for being on, my man. Before we let you go, how can our listeners catch you down the pike, and how can they catch you on social media and anything special you're doing? Please let them know right now.
Sure, appreciate that. You know, just continuing to build the brand. ABC might have something else coming up here in a couple days to be able to say something. But yeah, you can check me out on social media, on Twitter at Lake Lewis, and on Instagram, Facebook, Lake Lewis Jr. You know, and then you can go to Sports Journey, sportsjourney.com. And then, of course, the podcast is After Practice Podcast.
All right, man. Lake, man, appreciate you being on, man. Again, Will and I will be inviting you to Jasper's. We said this, but I said this to you before. You know what I'm saying? So get some Tiger Wings.
Oh, yeah. Come on, man. I'll be up there. I'll be up there real soon.
All right.
And I see you trying to rush me off so you can check out your Lakers.
Hey, man. Hey, I got keep 100, though. I got keep 100. You know how I do, man.
All right, Lake, man.
Thanks. Appreciate you, Lake.
Appreciate you, Lake, man. All right. Hey, yeah, his Twitter handle is at Lake Lewis. That's at Lake Lewis, man. I love Lake, man. Great guy.
All right. Right now, the Knicks are battling the Miami Heat in the playoffs. We'll talk about the series and the rest of the remaining series with Just Blaze from Above the Rim podcast after the break. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
On Ampire Media. That's ampiremedia.com.
Trouble. What's that Dave Chappelle thing? I forgot. You watched Dave Chappelle show when he was like acting like he was like DMX?
Mm-hmm.
You remember that thing?
Yeah.
My memory sucks. Anyway, you're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Wole and Will T, and we are part of Ampire Media at ampiremedia.com. All right, man, I'm boosting, man. Right now, we have the host of the Above the Rim podcast, Just Blaze, on the line. What's good, Justin, my man?
My man, Wole, what's good, my brother? How you living?
Good.
How's everything?
Good, man. Also, I have my homie, Will T, so.
What's going on, Justin? How you doing, man?
Will, what's going on? I'm doing great, man. How about yourself?
I'm doing great, brother. Appreciate you asking.
Sounds great.
Man, it's good, man. I had to have you. Like, the NBA playoffs have been lit. I've seen your pod, man. You've been excited for it, too. But yeah, man, I had to get you on for this, man.
All right, man, let's get it started, man. The Knicks are down 3-1 to the Miami Heat in the Eastern Conference semis. Game 5 is happening right now. The score is 46-43 New York with a minute and 32 seconds left in the second quarter.
It could be on the lake for other people. It could be on the lake for us, though, FYI. Just letting you know.
It is what it is.
I roll differently.
A.K.A. I don't pay.
You know it!
Jeff, why are the Knicks down in this series?
Yes, can he?
Yeah, that's you. Why are they down?
Oh, my bad. Why they down? Well, listen, man, the Knicks, they've just been out-coached. They've been outplayed, and they've been out-hustled. And most importantly, I think they've just been out-executed in this series. Like, the Knicks are playing hard. Don't get me wrong. They have a good game plan. They're playing hard. They're not really performing as well as they could, because as we see Julius Randle, he's been a shell of himself this series. As we see playoff Randle came to play this series, as we know, the numbers are always a little suspect in a playoff when it comes to Randle. But he's been well underperforming. Jalen Brunson's been kind of very regular season-like, so he's been fine. But the Heat, man, the Heat are not afraid of the moment, and that's what really the issue is right now. I said in my pod, I said, are the Knicks going to play experience ball or just play like a team that's happy to be here? And right now, they look like a team that's happy to be here. And the Heat are just ready to take their dinner. And they got playoff Jimmy. The Knicks don't have no playoff Jimmy on that roster.
I do have a question about this playoff Jimmy thing, all right? Because I've been having an issue with Jimmy, because I feel like Jimmy gets more foul calls than your fake. Damn, man. Ooh, what the fuck? All right, so I feel like Jimmy gets more playoff calls than your favorite top five player in the NBA. Like, I've never seen it before. Like, Jimmy arguably is a top – he's in the top 15, right? I'll say that, like, in the top 15. But in the regular season, you know, Jimmy puts up decent stats, nothing special. But in the postseason – Jimmy puts up numbers, but he gets calls like you would think he KD, LeBron, Wade, Jordan, Bird, Magic. Yeah. I've never seen a dude that hasn't had the elk of like MVP, an MVP type player that gets calls like Jimmy. Like Jimmy gets called. It's amazing to me. Do you see the same thing, or am I exaggerating this?
No, I agree. You definitely have a point there, but I'm gonna tell you why that does happen. I think a guy like Jimmy, he embraces the playoff contact. I think those other players don't want the playoff contact because it's a lot more aggressive. It's a lot more of a physical toll on your body. If you look at every playoff run, Jimmy Butler always gets hurt, but he still plays throughout whatever it is. A lot of stars, they get hurt and then they got to miss a couple of games. Maybe 2, 3, 4 games. We see that's going on right now in the playoffs. But Jimmy Butler, he missed that one game, and I feel like they sat him out. I feel like if it was up to him, he would have played. But they probably sat him out to keep him fresh. So I think he gets a lot of calls because maybe he's a lot more aggressive in the playoffs rather than in the regular season, to me.
All right, Jess, I got a question.
He gets a lot, though.
I got a question for you. All right, we see Miami Heat, the 8 seed. We see the Lakers, the 7 seed. We saw Golden State, the 6 seed.
Yeah.
Why is it just an anomaly, or is it something that we don't see as fans that's causing a lot of these upsets in these in this first couple of rounds of the playoffs?
You know what? You know what's crazy? I don't even really look at them as upsets because I feel like this year is different than any other because this is the most amount of parity that we've had in the league in probably about a decade, the most parity we've had. Because if you look at right now, these are top-tier, top-quality caliber teams that are in these lower seeds. So an 8 seed this year is not a normal 8 seed. An 8 seed this year might have been a 4 seed last year. So to me, because there is an influx of talent and because there are no quote-unquote super teams anymore, I think that leveled the playing field because technically right now in the league, it's like the era of the duos right now. Yeah. Every team has at least a major duo. If you don't have that, you're not even relevant. But if you do, most likely, if it's a top duo, then you're in the upper echelon of the league. So I think it's just because there are no more super teams, quote-unquote, anymore. And because there are more parity in the league, and I actually think it's really good for the league, that a lot of the lower seeded teams are winning because it gives everyone hope for next year also as well.
Are you still want to talk about the Knicks a little bit, or you still want
to? No, I was going to say, so let me ask you this question. So you don't think the Suns constructed of KD, Booker, and Chris Paul, you don't think that's somewhat of a super team, or you just, or what's your thoughts?
No, I personally, I don't think that's a super team at all, because Chris Paul is at the tail end of his career.
Yeah.
DeAndre Ayton is no super team caliber player, no matter how you slice it. I don't care how much money DeAndre Ayton makes.
You hate DeAndre Ayton?
Yo, this dude is not a super team type of player.
I like Ayton, but you hate Ayton, don't you?
Yo, this dude, I'm sick of this, son. You see what I put up today? Yo, bruh doesn't even average 10 rebounds in this series. Is that not ridiculous?
Yeah, he should, though. He should. DeAndre should average about. He should dominate the series on the backboard. He should.
Yo, you know what? He hasn't even gotten 10 rebounds in any game in this series. No game. Not one game. And Jokic just averages 17 rebounds. He's getting smoked. So I got no. So I have no. But on the Sun side, yes, KD and Booker is a dynamic duo. But I don't consider them a super team because technically only KD was an all-star. Chris Paul was not even voted in as an all-star. So how can you be labeled as a super team if he wasn't even voted as an all-star or not even looked at as an all-star caliber player? So I don't think this is a super team at all. I think it's a really great team.
Yeah.
I think it has two great horses, and then it has an aging star on the team who's still on the tail end of his career but can still contribute.
Yes.
And Ayton is no all-star caliber. He's just a high-end role player.
I love Aiden, though. He's gonna get better. Watch, man. Why, you got some.
I don't know why.
I think he has talent. I feel like he needs to get traded, though. I do think he needs to go elsewhere to reach his maximum potential.
Give us AD.
No, I'm not giving that. Hell, I'm not stupid now. You fucking think I'm crazy? I ain't crazy. But speaking of the Lakers, man. Hey, speaking of the Lakers, though, my Lakers are also up 3-1 against the defending champion Golden State Warriors. In the Western Conference semis, they are playing the Warriors tonight. Game's at 10, right? Game's at 10.
Yes.
Game's at 10. Do you think the Lakers end the series tonight?
No, I really don't, brother. I don't think they end it tonight. I think they're going to play hard. I think the first half is going to look nice. But I think when it gets to the third quarter, I think the Warriors are going to blow them out in the third quarter. I think it's going to be a good game, though, but I do think the Warriors, they are not going to get closed out on their home floor. So I do not think the Lakers will win this game at all. I think it's going to be a three-point barrage, but the Lakers will play well tonight. But I think in the third quarter, it's about to be a wrap. What about you, man?
Oh, I think it can end tonight. I think it can. I don't think it. Really? I think it can end tonight. I mean, I do think the Warriors will play tougher. Like, I don't have any doubt that Steph is going to be hot. I have no doubt. I think Steph is going to be Steph. I think Steph is going. I question the others. I really do now. I'm at a point where I think that Steph, if the game is my, I feel like they got to blow him out early. Because I do think players like Jordan Poole will get tight. I think that Draymond will get a little tight in terms of his role, like in terms of taking shots when he's open. He'll do his thing defensively, but I think he'll be tight when it comes to making shots. Because if they're bringing pressure to a point where the Lakers are in the game, say late third, then that is going to be an issue for the people they do rely on, like the Wiggins, the Jordan Poole, because they're going to have to make shots. You saw that in the fourth quarter, where, and to me, that game was in the fourth quarter of last game, game four, that was a game normally the Warriors win, to be honest with you. I'm going to be real with you. The Warriors win that kind of game. And what happened in that fourth? The other players didn't step up. Steph was trying to be special, but he got tired because, you know, he's been doing so much work in this postseason. Like, people, we marvel what he did against the Kings, but that's exhausting. Like, that is exhausting. It is. What he did against, like, he won game seven. Like, real talk, he won game seven.
Yeah, he scored 50.
And it was 50 that they needed that 50. They needed all 50.
Yeah.
What I mean? Like, they needed all 50. So you're going into a series where now you're going against a veteran team. You're going against LeBron, who, you know, it's LeBron. And then you got AD, who seems motivated. Like, that's a lot to kind of to win, to beat, because AD is not Sabonis. He is not Sabonis. Like, he's not going to be scared to take that mid-range jumper. You're not going to leave him wide open to take a mid-range jumper. And he plays a lot of deep. It's just so much pressure for the others to do their thing. I have no doubt that Steph is going to be Steph. I have no doubt. Steph is going to make back-breaking threes. He's going to do it. He's going to get those threes when you roll your eyes like, damn, I did everything right. But he still won't hit the shot. He gonna give you those threes.
Let me ask you this really quick. You think that your role players on the Lakers is going to step up in Golden State?
I think that D'Lo can. I think D'Lo can because he's shown it. Other than like the last game, D'Lo has been consistent in terms of doing what he's been doing. He did that at Golden State too. Like he's shown that he can. And plus, I think because he played there before, like it doesn't bother him that he's played around that fan base. I think D'Lo be okay. Austin Reeves, I agree with you. I think he'll shrink. I'm gonna hold you. I think Austin Reeves will shrink. I think that
will Lonnie give you another fourth?
Lonnie has been seen my thing
a full game like that fourth.
Well, Lonnie's been good the last two games, like the last. But that's in LA though. But I don't know. Lonnie won't have that type of game. Like I'm not gonna say Lonnie's gonna have that type. No, he's not. But Lonnie, if he gets some open shots, then he's gonna get anyway. He's gonna get open shots. Lonnie's capable of making those shots. Lonnie was good this whole season, but Darvin Ham is funny with his rotations. Like as soon as the trade went down, Lonnie Walker got no burn. He used to start, then he gets no burn. So Lonnie is talented. I mean, if you watch Lonnie in Miami, you watch Lonnie with the Spurs, you know Lonnie is talented. So he'll get open shots. I'm not saying Lonnie's gonna have the same output, like the same game he had in Game 4. No, I'm not gonna go that
quick
far.
Question for you though, and this is for both of you. Lakers up 3-1 right now.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say they lose tonight.
Yeah,
goes to 3-2.
Yeah,
do you think that if it goes back to Golden State for Game 7?
I think the Warriors probably win it.
You think the Warriors will win it?
Yeah.
What about you, Jess?
Yeah, absolutely. The Warriors are winning that. Absolutely.
Yeah, that means they got real momentum. Like that means they really found themselves.
Momentum.
I know you hate that word, but it's the truth. You know what I mean? And no, I'm just being real. If the Lakers drop two straight, the Warriors are feeling real good about themselves. You know what I mean? That means something went wrong in terms of the Lakers' role players and LeBron. But I do feel like LeBron got to set the table for this team in this game. Like, he got to set the table in this game. Like, he's got to set everything up. Like, he has to, for this one game, LeBron has to be playoff LeBron. Like, I'm going to do everything type of LeBron. Like,
he's got to go on ball again.
Yeah, like, I agree. On ball. Like, because I think, to me, D'Lo has really funny decision making. Like, very funny. Like, very funny decision making. So, I do agree with you. I think LeBron has to be on ball, like, and be the point guard. If he can do that and not hold the ball forever, that's the thing LeBron does sometimes. So, he'll take that step back three, which is annoying as fuck. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, if he can just not do that, I think they could be fine. I mean, I feel like, if we were doing Vegas odds and stuff, yeah, the Warriors are a favorite to win. But I think the Lakers having a good opportunity to close it out. I just didn't like the way the Warriors players played. Their role players played down the stretch when the games got tight. Even the game in LA, in Golden State game one, I didn't like when the game was tight how certain role players played. I didn't like how Draymond played, like when the game was tight. And he was complaining about, like, I wasn't happy the way I played. Like, I didn't like the way they played when it's tight.
Listen, I'm going to be honest right here. I think Draymond was throwing that game because he about to be on the Lakers.
I know. He loved LeBron, though, right? He loved LeBron.
Listen, that Clutch Sports check cashed quickly. It cashed quickly after last game. I think the fix was in. I'm not going to lie, man. You know, fellas, I'm going to get y'all this game, man. I'll see y'all next year.
If they lose the series, I don't know Draymond back. I know that much.
He's absolutely going to the Lakers. If they lose the series, I'm low key looking at Draymond with a side eye. But that's how he was playing in that last game.
Yeah, I can see him coming to LA. I don't want him though, but I can see him coming to LA. I don't want Draymond, but I can see him coming to LA. I didn't want Patrick Beverley either. Like I don't want Draymond. Like I'm not that person.
Oh, God.
I don't want. Yeah. He's cool. I mean, he dark skinned and everything, but still, I want him. Hey, anyway, hey, Jesse.
One of your Najee brothers.
Exactly, bro. Look, I'm about to talk about a light skinned dude that I like his game. You're a fan of Jason. You're a Jason Tatum supporter, too. You know what I'm saying?
You be hating on my boy.
I like Jason Tatum. I just say he's playing better. I told you last season he wasn't settling for that step back anymore. So I've been cool with Jason Tatum. I just think Jaylen Brown will get enough love, and that's not me just being dark skin helping the dark skin brothers out. I'm just saying like he don't get enough love. Period. Like I feel like that dude works hard, just like Jason Tatum. You know what I'm saying? I feel like they try to separate him a little bit.
Ooh, yeah. Jason Taylor,
and like I feel like they'd be trying to create a little friction between the two.
I think ultimately Brown is gone from there.
You think so?
From Boston, I do.
Yeah. Well, you think so too, Justin?
If they lose in this round,
yeah. Yes. You think so? Okay. Yeah. All right, man.
If they lose this round, if they go the next round, maybe not. But I don't know. I think it's a strong possibility that he is. Yeah.
All right. So let me get back to the series though. So all right, the Celtics they came out flat against Embiid and the Sixers in a pivotal Game 5 matchup last night, losing 115-103 at home. I'm saying again, at home in Boston. The Celtics are now down 3-2. Man, are the Celtics in major trouble, Justin? Hey, man, they're going back to Philly.
I'm iffy on this. I'm going to go yes and no. Yes, okay. I think they are in trouble because they lost the game that they were supposed to. "Quote unquote," supposed to win because they're at home.
Uh-huh.
But I'm not gonna lie, I've seen Philly give up a crucial game at home before plenty of times. Uh-huh. Man, listen, I mean, I'm no one to bash players like that. But if there are two players that I'm a little suspect on in a game clinching game, it's James Harden and Joel Embiid.
I ain't mad at you, bro. I ain't gonna lie. Both of them
brothers. I love those brothers, but. If I have to fully rely on them in a close game, I don't know. And last time we seen the Celtics give up a game, they came back to Philly with a vengeance.
Yes, that's true.
And got them out there, what was that, Game 3, I believe it was.
Yeah.
Game 3. So, listen, I think these Celtics boys are going to be mad right now because the way they lost that last game, and I don't feel like they should have lost that game. So I think they're about to come out of vengeance the next game. And I'm actually picking the Celtics to win. I think they're going to win in Philly. And it's going about to be a Game 7, I think.
If they win in Philly, they're winning the series. But that's a tough one, though. Hey, Will, what do you think, Ryan?
I already told you.
Oh, you said Sixers are in the finals, right?
Yeah, I said Sixers in the finals.
He thinks Sixers are going to the finals. I mean, the Sixers match up very well against Miami or New York.
They match up well against Miami and New York, and they match up extremely well against Boston. I mean, from the perspective of Robert Williams is not – Robert Williams is their – best, most athletic big.
Yes.
They play him off the ball. Al Horford has to guard Joel Embiid one on one. Now, physically, while they're in the paint, Al Horford,
he wins that matchup.
Can hold his own, yeah. But over the duration of 48 minutes, if you consistently get Embiid the ball, he's shown that if or when Boston comes with the double team, he can make the right pass, and I think that's the key to winning. Not getting him the ball at the free throw line, but getting him the ball below the free throw line.
I will say this is something I do agree with Justin about when it comes to the Sixers. I don't trust Harden and Embiid, and I think there is a record of what Embiid has done in clutch games.
Why don't you trust this version of James Harden?
Just the history. But I will give James Harden credit though, because I like James Harden. I feel like people are overly negative on James Harden, but it's Harden to erase what James Harden has been in the past, right? It's hard to. It is. Like, this series, he's been effective. Like, he had that, was it 50? He scored, how much 40, he scored?
45.
45? And I watched that game, and he was the one that was clutch. He was about the moment, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm going to give him credit. Like, he was about the moment. Not Joel, he was about the moment. But what I've seen in with Joel, and I've said this before, like, everybody blamed Ben for everything. Like, when Ben was here, everybody blamed Ben. But Joel had just as much, just in terms of dudes you need to rely on, has just similar issues down the stretch. Ben was scared to shoot, but Joel was getting timid too. It's just people don't want to call it. People don't want to call it because Embiid is he's the boisterous, he's the monstrous one, and whatever. Look at the Atlanta series. I would like people to go back to the Atlanta series and watch it. Watch the Atlanta series for real. The one that they should have won, they lost to the Hawks. Embiid was playing timid. So, to me, when a pressure situation, it is hard to rely on Embiid and Harden. I agree with that. And especially with a Boston team where they've been there before. They've been to the finals. Like Justin said, they've been down and they've won big games in the postseason. Like, big games. Mm-hmm. I think they had a game against Milwaukee where everyone thought they were out and they won a road game against Milwaukee, against Giannis and company.
Yeah.
So, I'm just saying, like, Boston has shown you they can go hostile territory and win a big game. I don't know. Embiid, that hasn't been proven when Embiid is Embiid. Can you say Embiid is that playoff dog? Because I can argue. Look at this. Even look at the stat line. His last two games, Embiid has scored a lot of points. Yeah, he scored a lot, but his shooting percentage hasn't been the best. He's shooting the ball a lot though, because he's the star. He's the go-to guy. I'm just saying, like, I want to see him because I think Embiid is. I guess my issue with Embiid is like, dude, you are too talented. You should dominate. Like, dominate. There ain't nobody in this league that can guard you. So when you are timid, same thing I say about LeBron at times. I say the same thing about LeBron. When you timid, it shows. Cause you too dominant. You too dominant. There ain't nobody who can see you. No, you got the pack, you got the power game, you got a three ball, you got a mid-range, you got a fade. What don't you got? And you timid? Nah. It was so bad in game four. Yeah, it was so bad in game four that PJ Tucker had to smack some sense into him. Yeah, PJ Tucker had to yell at him again. That's what I'm saying. Like, bruh, like, dude, then, UMD.
Al Horford was shutting him down.
Yes, low-key. Yes, he was.
Man, you remember the tweet that I had? I was like, yo, Al Horford is low key has
yes.
Joel Embiid shook in his boots before the end of the game. Yeah, he didn't want to shoot.
Yeah, he didn't want to shoot. That's what I'm saying. Like, so think about now. It's a closeout game, game six. If it's tight in the fourth, I don't know. But like, I can tell you, like, if you a front runner, yeah, if they blowing him out, yeah, Embiid will be fine. If they blowing him out, he'll be fine. He's a front. Big lead, he'll be Embiid. But if it's tight, you telling me if it's tight, 5 minutes left, even if the Sixers may be up, like, two, say they up two, you ain't getting the same Embiid. I'm telling you now, you ain't going to get the same Embiid.
Okay, you may not get the same Embiid, but do you think you will get James Harden, the old Harden?
What's the old Harden in the regular season or postseason? Which was Harden we doing?
We're talking about regular season, the old regular all right, yeah, season all right, James Harden.
Regular season James Harden, you could. I don't know. Like,
you about to get regular season James Harden in the postseason?
We got it in the first game of this series.
And we got it in Philly.
That was the game with the least amount of pressure in this series. That was a game play where nobody expected them to win that game.
I will say game four, though. We got to give credit for game four, though.
Yeah,
right?
You got to give him credit for game four.
Game four, he played well. But down the stretch, though, he didn't look great down the stretch. He had some moments. But then he also had some lapses. But then he made up with that great shot.
Yeah, he was.
That's what he made.
To
up
me, he was the one, though. He was the one. I'm going to give him flowers. He was the one that wanted it. Like, I'm going to tell you, like, he wanted it. Other than, if you talk about the two-man start.
He did hit a few mid-ranges.
Yes. He was changing his game up. Like, he wasn't doing this just a step-back three. He went with the midi, did the floater. It was like he showed some versatility. He set up and beat up for a key, like an and-one, I think the bounce pass for Lay. Yeah. Like, he was controlling the game. Well, controlling the Sixers' end of it. Put it that way. The Sixers' end of it. You know what I'm saying? So, for me, like, but yeah, it's hard. Again, game six is going to have a game seven vibes for the Sixers because they don't want to go back to Boston. So.
All right. We know that you are a diehard Phoenix Suns fan.
He's a Chris Paul fan. That's what he is.
Excuse me.
Just is a Chris Paul fan.
Okay. All right. Well, Chris Paul, that's your man, right? We saw that.
I root for them boys to do well.
Yeah. We saw how the team performed in Phoenix two games. The first, game three and four with Devin Booker at the point guard. The Suns are down 3-2 after getting destroyed last night, 118-102. How much do the Suns miss CP3, and how confident are you that the Suns can still win this series?
Oh, man. How much do they miss CP3? A lot. I mean, you can't even quantify that in words. They miss the presence, just the common presence on the floor, just a guy who can run a play, just a guy who can call a play.
I mean, do they? I mean, they won games 3 and 4 in Phoenix. Do they really?
Yeah, but that was off of home court, home adrenaline, how they won those games right there.
I understand, but they had Chris Paul game one.
But we heard that game?
And they still lost.
No, he got hurt in game two. Game one was a feel out game in every game, and the whole team didn't really play well. If you remember that game, Kevin Durant played terribly in game one. Yeah, Devin Booker was the only Booker that was hot. Game two, when Chris Paul left the game, he left the game at the end of the third quarter. Mm. When he left the game, the Suns were up 8, and they were in control that whole third quarter. When he went out the game, if you look at the numbers, the Nuggets went on a 20-5 run, and that's how they won the game in game two, in the fourth quarter. Mm. So after Chris Paul went out, the Suns couldn't get into their sets as comfortably at the end of that game and execute. Game three and game four, those were like must-win games. So they didn't really need Chris Paul per se in those particular games because it was a must-win, die-hard game. Mm. And then, most importantly, what Monty did differently is that he played the bench. He didn't play the bench in games one and in game two. So they had none of the starters had any rest in game one and game two. They only played 7 guys. In games three and games four, he played 10 and 11 guys. So everyone got an extra couple of minutes to get some rest, and the bench got some extra couple of minutes to contribute. Because if you look at the Nuggets, they're getting contributions from everyone. Everyone is playing defense. So it wasn't more so about Chris Paul playing or not playing. It was more so about the entire team played, and they got more production from everybody in game three and game four. And as you see in game five, Monty went back to the same shit. He played 9 guys. He played 9 guys. I said in my episode that Monty needs to wake up. He played 9 guys in this game again. He didn't play no Jock Landale and left Ayton out there to get work again. And then there was a lot of guys he didn't play. So it was really on Monty for that game five. And then the Nuggets, they just play well at home. So their role players play well here, just like their role players won't play well in Phoenix. So that's why I'm looking for Phoenix to still win game six, and Chris Paul is already ruled out. But still, to me, I think it's going to be the momentum, the adrenaline, and the home crowd. Role players play better at home.
They do.
You know that.
They do. So, it's wild. They do, though.
Yeah, so that's why I know I firmly believe they're going to win game six, and then I think Chris Paul is going to be back for game seven. And I think it's going to be a slugfest, but I got the Suns in 7.
You got the Suns in 7? Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay.
Hey, I will say this, though. I will say this, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, I need my man.
Book it.
All right. You know what? I'm here for you, dude. Look, you're my guy. That's why I'm here for you. If they do lose, yes, though, sir. I got you, man. You got a friend here.
Let me hear.
Look. You got a friend here, dude. If they lose, you got a friend here. But I will say this, though. Like, you know, I mean, KD from this area, so I'm pro KD. I'm not going to hold you. I need my man to be like efficient KD, because I've been looking at. Yeah. I mean, like, KD has not been as efficient. I've always said that KD is a unicorn. He's just, dude, all he needs is 16 shots to get you 30. That's all he needs, 16 shots to get you 30. And like, this KD ain't as efficient as normal. Booker is actually more efficient than KD, which is wild to me.
But, yeah, Booker's been killing.
I know, he's been so. My knock on Booker is like he's not efficient at times, but he's been efficient. Like, he's putting up KD numbers, like in terms of efficiency. Like, he getting his buckets easily.
Yeah. But Wole, really quick, not meaning to cut you off.
No, you good, bro. You good.
But you see what you're saying, how we haven't even had a great KD game yet? No. And the series is still 3-2. What about if KD shows up like normal KD?
Oh, yeah.
You winning.
No, I do agree. I think the reason why this series has gone this way, like, I don't think KD, you've gotten the best KD. But I don't know if Denver's doing something special. Like, it's weird to me. Like, KD hasn't been. Like, you haven't seen, like, in terms of recency, you haven't seen the KD that was in that Brooklyn Nets playoff run. Like that KD's not losing to Denver. I'm sorry, he's not. Like, that KD wouldn't lose to Denver. You know what I'm saying? Because my whole premise about the Suns, I've always said, like, if Booker is the dude to take most of the shots, you're not going to win. The Suns aren't going to win the series. It should be KD.
Yeah.
And then Booker should be second. But I see why, because now I see it. Like, I see why Booker is getting most of the shots, because he's been more efficient. So I get it, but I'm like, but that's also on the flip side saying that you're not getting the best KD, because if you're getting the best KD, he should be taking more shots than Booker.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Absolutely. So, but I, to me, I just think that this, I mean, KD and Booker are a great duo. They've been amazing, but like, something about that Joker ain't playing. Like, that Joker's special. I know people want to ill on him, but that Joker's special.
Yeah, he's been playing excellent.
Yeah, man.
I can't lie. Yeah. He's been eating DeAndre Ayton dinner, bro.
It always goes back to DeAndre.
Yeah, he's getting killed.
It always goes back to DeAndre. Hey, man, Jess, before I let you go, homie, man, tell our listeners about the next pod and where they can find it, and also how can they hit you on social media, my man.
Yeah, Yes, sir, brother. You guys can follow me on Twitter at JUSDLAZE_513. I just put out a couple of series reviews about what's going on in the East Series, so make sure you check me out on there. Above the Rim NBA Podcast. Make sure you search that in everywhere. Mm. Wole, Rave, my brothers, I appreciate both of you guys. You gentlemen.
And Will.
And Will. He said Will.
Like,
and Will. He said Will. Will was saying Will.
Oh, my bad. I said
Ray.
Said Ray. My apologies, Will.
I got you. I got you. Will, I got you, dude. Dude, I got you.
It's all good, man.
You know what I'm saying? It's because you ain't on social media. That's why, bro. That's the reason. I've been trying.
Yeah.
I know. He's anti-social media. We're not getting into this. All right,
yeah.
We good.
I'm used to seeing Ray's name. That's fine. Yeah. But yeah, brothers, I appreciate the invite as always, man. I appreciate you guys. It's always great talking ball to you, fellas. So I appreciate you, gentlemen, man.
Hey, appreciate you too, man.
Appreciate you, Jess. But I'm going to ask you this one question. What in this postseason, Jess, has been more the most surprising to you, bro, before I let you go? Within these series, what has been the most surprising thing?
Which series?
Within these current series.
Man, the most surprising thing. I would say the most surprising series to me is the Celtics 76ers, because I'm surprised that they. But the most surprising thing I would say is that how well Steph, I feel like, is getting defended in these series. Because I feel like they're playing actually. Jared Vanderbilt gets a lot of love for how he's playing Steph Curry in the series. Because he's big enough to get over those illegal-ass screens.
Man, that's illegal, man. People always want to say the Lakers be cheating, but then nobody ever wants to talk about Golden State's illegal-ass screens, though. They never want to do it, though.
Every screen is illegal.
Yes.
Every screen.
Never want to do it, bro. That kills me.
Yes, brother.
It is. Hey, man. Jess, man, appreciate you, man. We'll get you on again, man.
Appreciate you, Jess.
Yes, sir. Most definitely. I appreciate you, brother. Take it easy.
All right, man. All right, bro.
All right.
Again, make sure you follow Just Blaze on Twitter at @JustBlaze_513 @JustBlaze_513. Hey, subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. Just search The Urban Sports Scene. Also, subscribe to our YouTube channel as well. Hey, don't forget. Follow us on Twitter at Urban Sports Scene, IG at Urban Sports Scene, and like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Check out the home of the Urban Sports Scene, Amp Pyre Media, at amppyremedia.com. And this show can be found on the Podcast DC app. Download the Podcast DC app to hear all of the Amp Pyre shows, as well as other great content. Anyway, man, this has been a dope show. You know what I'm saying? This has been our, like, Urban Sports Scene Uncut version of the show. It's been dope.
Yeah,
it's
you fucking haven't amazing. Noticed. Haven't noticed Wole's been dropping a lot of F-bombs.
I have, man. And I have, you know, I feel liberated too by saying it anywhere. I do. I feel better about myself. My dad used to tell me, man, sometimes you curse, you just feel good. Just do, man. Anyway, you've been listening to the Urban Sports Say.
For ages.
Yeti.
Deuces.
Hey, Mega, lead us out, big homie.